Let us turn to the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians. For our study tonight, we have a couple of verses here. We're near the end of it. Some gracious lessons in this study, as well as all the other studies we've been having. The Word of God is full and it's for us to learn from, especially if you're saved or you want to be saved. The Word of God was written for a reason, to help us, to lead us, to guide us. Then, is written for our salvation, how we can be saved, and what it means to grow in the riches of Christ. There's that song we sang tonight, "Not I, but Christ." I wonder if that's really the desire of every heart here tonight. Not I, but Christ. Not I, but Christ. Well, we have somewhat in our lesson tonight, along that line, glad to have our missions in with us here tonight at the missions, and our Tate family. And you turn your Bibles to the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and let us begin reading with the 23rd verse. The 23rd verse. All things are lawful for me. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Corinth. But all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me. And though they be lawful for me, all things do not edify. They edify not. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Whatsoever is sold in the shambles, and we gave you the definition of that word, shambles is the marketplace or the meat market. Whatever sold at the meat market, that eat, asking no question for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Now, we're talking about the things that God originally created. And things were made from these things that were created. If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, well, he's talking about the heathens. In the times of this church, many of them at Corinth, at the church of Corinth, went to the feast. And so he continues here, if any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, or an unbeliever bids you to a feast, and ye be disposed to go, or you will to go, whatsoever is set before you, eat, asking no question for conscience sake. Now he's dealing here with food, with meats. But if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake that showed it, and for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. In other words, there's many other things that you can eat that were not sacrificed, that are not sacrificed to idols. Now, for conscience sake, and listen to the 29th verse. Conscience, I say, not thine own, not your own conscience, as far as you're concerned. Everything is lawful for you, but everything edify not. But you think about the conscience of another, the conscience of a weak brother, or the conscience of those who are not saved. You think about those things, anything that we do. We're going to find that out tonight. But of the other, for why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? For if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that for which I give thanks? Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Give none offense, neither to the Jews. Here you have three classes in this world. To the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Even as I please all, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. The Apostle Paul certainly was concerned for the souls of men, wasn't he? And we ought to follow that example. Paul said, I'm a pattern. We should be imitators of him. And as he lived for others, he did not live for himself, for selfish gain, selfish purposes. He lived for others, that others may be blessed. He suffered that others may be blessed. He was persecuted, driven from pillar to post for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ and for the salvation of sinners. Now, I want us to look at the 29th verse. Conscience, I say, not your own, but of the other. For why is my liberty judge of another man's conscience? Before we enter into this verse, I want to repeat just a little of that 28th verse. And then we'll go right into that 29th, because there's a connection there through the remainder of this chapter. If any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake that showed it, and for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. In other words, what the Apostle Paul is saying here, when someone offers you out, say, to dinner, and your host should say, we are eating this today as dedicated to such and such a God, then you are to say, I cannot eat it with you because I am a partaker at the table of the Lord. And I cannot be committed unto you if I'm a partaker at the table of the Lord. He is my Lord, and he's the only God, the one and only true God, and he's the one I serve. And therefore, I cannot be a partaker at your table. Now, what's the whole sense of this scripture here, the 29th? Let me just repeat it for emphasis' sake. If a believer, now you take believers, if a believer has been warned that what is set before him has been offered in sacrifice to idols, and he realizes there is danger of causing offense, then he commits a sin against his brother if he does not abstain. A believer must realize that he does not belong to himself. He's been bought with a price, and that with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to be very careful of the conscience of other people. Now let us go into the 29th verse and read it again. Conscience, I say, not thine own, but of the other. For why is my liberty judge of another man's conscience? Conscience, I say, not thine own, but of the other. Always thinking in terms of the other. We have a song and a hymn in one of our books, Others. I like it. Thinking about others. That is, of anyone who may come into such circumstances. Now, we are advised by the apostle to be very careful of the consciences of other people. I am, as a believer, begin with myself, not to allow myself to partake of anything that would mislead those who are weak in the faith, to mislead awakened sinners, as Satan would very well like for us to do. Now, the apostle goes on, for why is my liberty judge of another man's conscience? In that same verse of Scripture, 29. Now, what Paul is saying here is, I am free. Yes, I'm a free man in Christ. And like many in this country say, well, I'm free. And then you hear people saying, well, I want my freedom. I want my freedom, not realizing they have freedom here in this country. But like I told a young girl one day, I said, you know, too much freedom is not good for you. And that's true. And we're seeing that all around us today. And what is causing for people they want to be released from everything, all restraint, all immorality. They want to, morals is just gone, it seemingly, today. And they want to be released from all restraint, and that they can express freedom in all things. And give expression to all immorals without any restraint whatsoever. And our country is suffering because of that. Now the Apostle Paul, what he's writing to the Corinth, to the church at Corinth, here he's saying, I am free. I have liberty to partake of that food, of that meat, if I please. Certainly, there's no law against it. And for me, it is not morally wrong. But if I do, and when I am told that the food had been sacrificial to idols, then my liberty, that is the right which I exercise, will be misconstrued, misjudged, and condemned by others. Therefore, it is better for me to abstain and not to use this liberty in the case, but to deny myself for the sake of others. And then we read on that other, I believe I covered portion of this last week. But I think it's good again for us today, tonight. So what Paul does, he gives serious warnings that if we use our freedom just as we like, and thereby cause offense to our brethren, the result will be that they will condemn our freedom. Believers should take care not to use their liberty in such a way that it might hurt others. Now, I want us to look at that 30th verse. For if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that for which I give thanks? Now, the idea in this verse is, by the grace and mercy, and that word mercy means favor, by the grace and favor of God, I have a right to partake of this food. But if I did, I should be evil spoken of and do injury. Therefore, why should I, by using the liberty that I have, give occasion to others to speak evil of me? The Apostle Paul cautions believers in Romans 14:16, let not your good be evil spoken of. So as a child of God, I am not to allow myself to partake of anything that would mislead those who are weak in the faith. I am to act thus in good conscience towards God. Yes, that's like that song we sang tonight, not I, but Christ. And all my being, and we may exemplify that spirit of Christ in all of us, demonstrated. Now, in whatever we do, let us not question whether there is any harm in doing this or any harm in doing that, but let us ask ourselves the question, is there any profit in this thing that I'm doing or I have intentions of doing? Will it help me? Will it help me to spiritually grow? Will it make Christ more precious to me? Will it be a stumbling block to others? Will others fall because of the freedom that I have, that I'm exercising? There's so many things the believer must be very careful. I have liberty. Yes, I have liberty. But I want to use that liberty I have to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ and to help others and to show others the right way, that my life might be influenced by others. Yes, others. My life may influence others in the way of the Lord. Well, we should ask ourselves that question. Will it really do me good? Will it be a blessing to me physically, spiritually, and in other ways? Let us not be occupied with anything that will be hindrance to our Christian walk and that will cause others to stumble. Let Christ be the one and the supreme object and the devotion of our hearts. That's where true joy and true peace and true fellowship, that's where that comes from, when we have the exercise these things in our hearts and lives, and Christ is the supreme object of our hearts. When you sang that song tonight, "Not I but Christ," do you really mean that? Or is it just coming from the lips and not from the heart? We can say many things from the lips, but what about the heart? "Not I but Christ," and may He be the center of our hearts and of our lives. And if you look at that 31st verse, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatever ye do, do all to the glory of God." Let's read it again. "Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatever ye do, do all to the glory of God." Now here, the Apostle Paul turns to the church in general, describing the end and the aims which should control the entire conduct of every true believer. We are to do all things with a view to the glory of God. Now you get that. Every believer, if you're saved, we are to do all things with a view to the glory of God. All things. Not only within our own immediate assembly and the place that we occupy in the work, but out on our jobs and our homes, wherever we are, everything that we do, whether people are looking at us or not looking at us, we're doing things for the glory of God. And if you know Christ, that's your business. And you're occupied with that business. You may be a mechanic in the shop or a farmer on the farm. What you're doing it for the glory of God. That's true. Let us do it for the glory of God. Now, this is to be the object. Constantly aim that. Constantly aim that. I know ever since God saved me, back in 1952, that has been my one aim from that time on. Oh, yes, we go through battles, and the flesh will suffer quite a bit. Trials. And the Holy Spirit will put us in the fire and burn the dross. But yet, that is the one aim of the believer that knows the Lord, that he may glorify him in everything that he does, wherever he is. And that is still my aim today, after 22 years since God saved me. It's still my aim to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, to be more like him, to show forth the praises of him who saved me, who called me out of darkness into his marvelous light. God cannot be glorified by our conduct unless it be our one object to act for his glory. 1 Peter 4:11 says that God in all things may be glorified. That God in all things may be glorified. I want us to turn to the third chapter of Colossians. Colossians 3. Colossians 3. In that 17th verse, Colossians 3. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Now listen to the 18th verse. Let's read on through. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. In other words, this is the proper thing to do. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Now you get the connection? Do all things for the glory of God. Fathers, which means parents, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily. Heartily. Hilariously, gleefully, unto the Lord, and not unto men. Do it as unto him, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Isn't that wonderful? But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. And there is no respect of persons. In other words, we are to let self be forgotten. Not to be taken up with self, but let self be forgotten and our eyes be fixed on God. The believer is to let the promotion of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ be his one object in all that he does. Now, Paul teaches that there is no part of our life or our conduct, however insignificant that it may seem, which should not be related to the glory of God, and that we must be concerned, whether in eating and drinking and so on. Now, if we are zealous for the glory of God, as we ought to be, we will, as far as it lies in our power, prevent his blessings from becoming the subject of abuse. Now let us read verse 31 again. Look at verse 31 of Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatever ye do, do all to the glory of God. I want you to look at the words, or whatever ye do. Whatever ye do. Now, this includes all the actions and plans of life. In other words, whatever our desires, our doings, let all be done to the glory of God. Now, I want you to listen to me. You haven't heard anything else? I want you to prick up your ears and listen to me. Now, you may ask this question. What about the recreation activities of Christians, of born-again believers? What about their recreations? In this also, we must have an aim to the glory of God in our recreations. We must be very careful. Now, you get this. We must be very careful that we do not allow in ourselves anything under the pretext that it is simply pleasure or recreation that would not have the approval of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me repeat that again. We must be very careful that we do not allow in ourselves anything under the pretext that it is simply pleasure or recreation that would not have the approval of the Lord Jesus Christ. I read a testimony of a man this week. He said before God saved him, he never attended a movie, never went to a dance, never participated in the things of the world. But after God saved him, his testimony was that he backslidden from God, drifted away, and then he decided he would attend a movie house, the movies, to see a picture show. And he said he felt like Moses was, like Moses did, when he looked about to see if anyone was looking, when he killed that Egyptian. And so he went off to the movies. And while he was sitting there, looking at the screen, the word of God came home to his heart in power. And the scripture that God used was, "What doest thou here? What doest thou here? What you doing here?" And he said that thing came home so forcibly to his heart that he ran out of the place. God convicted him of it. Never to go back. If you cannot enjoy things with the Lord's approval, then you had better avoid them. If you cannot enjoy things with the Lord's approval, then you had better avoid them. How many people went and got this and got that and did this and did that without first consulting the Lord? And after they got it, they can't even enjoy it. Let us consider the exhortation in 1 Peter in chapter 2. I wanted to turn there now. Then 1 Peter. I'm not through yet. Just have some more here, a little bit more to go after I read 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Begin reading with the first verse. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But look at 9th verse. Listen, believer, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who had called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so it is the will of God that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. And then you can read on and on. But there's one more thought I want to get through here, then we'll go home. And you listen. Now, what does this tell us in this reading of 1 Peter? And all of that has been already said now. All right, Christians, if you're saved, you're born again by the Spirit of God. Here's the admonition. Born-again believers are to avoid all ungodly places or worldly amusement. All ungodly places or worldly amusement, which includes the picture shows, the dance halls, and so forth. Then again, there may be those who will not be seen in the dance hall. Or you'll not be caught in a moving picture show or other places of worldly amusements. But now here's something I've been noticing of late. And ever since our late pastor has gone to glory. And I'm sure that every one of you who have a TV in your home, you have gotten that TV without consulting the Lord and asking Him about it. Now, if I were to ask you if I'm right tonight, you'll say you're right. I did it because somebody else had one. I did it because others had it. Dr. So-and-so's got one. This one's got one. That one's got one. And so I did it. But you did not consult the Lord. Am I right? And that's why you're having a time. That's why you have become worldly minded. And that's why you can't pray. You can't pray with power. You can't do things that's pleasing unto the Lord. You give what you want and you give the Lord what you want. Now there are those who will not attend a dance hall. I will not go to a moving picture show or be seen in bikinis at the beaches or in shorts and things like that. But you will sit before a TV and you will look at all those ungodly Hollywood divorcees prancing around in their nakedness and the beer guzzler guzzling his beer, the cigarette smoker smoking his cigarettes, and listen to all types of smutty jokes and lustful jokes and having pleasure and laughing along with them in these things. How can such individuals say they are saved? Brother, a born-again believer shows forth the praises of Him who called him out of darkness unto life. Let me read you something here. Let me read you something here. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, and fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, He quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and had raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Then let me read again to you from Titus 3. Listen, Titus 3, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lust and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after the kindness and love of God our Savior towards man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And then one more scripture reading, as the Lord gives it to us tonight. I want you to listen to it. You find it over in 1 John. In 1 John, the 3rd chapter, and the 1st verse, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purified himself, even as he is pure. Now you get that? Purifies himself. He doesn't take on things of the world. Add to his life the things of the world, but he puts off the old things and he puts on the new. He purifies himself. He's waiting for the coming of his precious Lord. And he doesn't want to be entertained with the things of the world and be looking at all of this stuff on TV and going to the movie houses and dance halls. You had better be careful that you're not, if he does come, he'll leave you behind. Because you certainly do not show that you're a child of God by entertaining yourself in these things. You might say, well, now he's preaching works. He's preaching works. But brother, let me tell you something. A good life will go along, that will characterize an individual who is a Christian, who is born again by the Spirit of God. John, we had that study in 1 John all the way through it. He that is made righteous in Christ will live righteously in Christ. And he will purify himself even as he is pure. But there's so many professed believers playing around with the world. They're trying to get along with the world and with God's people and with the church and with the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't do it. There's got to be a separation. Trying to win the applause and the praise and the honor and the good words of the world. We had better be careful when all men speak well of us. And I don't expect all men to speak well of me and think well of me, but I know God's people will. My friends, give the Lord the opportunity to guide you, and he will lead your steps in the right way. He'll lead it in the plain path. He'll lead your steps in the right way. You give him an opportunity. You turn to him. You may say, well, whatever I do is my business. That's my business, whatever I do. That's none of your business. You know what that reminds me of? That reminds me of when, you remember with Cain? Cain said, am I my brother's keeper? Do I have to worry about my brother? Let him get along the best he can. Let him struggle like I struggled. Is that bearing one of those burdens? And by doing that, you fulfill the law of Christ, the love of Christ. That's my business what I do. Individuals who talk like that, they give no evidence they're saved. God's business is my business. His word is my business, to obey Him and to walk with Him, to be obedient to Him. And by doing that, I have His smiles upon me. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done. Follow me. Follow me. But Lord, what about this one? That one. Don't you worry. You follow me. You see? You follow me. Let me live my life in you. Let me live in you. Let me shine forth the glorious gospel through you. Let this world know that there is a God on the throne. And there is a Christ who died for sinners. And that He saved you one day. He delivered you from the powers that be. He released you from sin and from His guilt. And that's why God saves every one of us, to show forth His praise, His glory, to demonstrate to this crooked and perverted generation that there's a God on the throne that every individual has to give an account to. But praise the Lord that my account was settled long, long ago in Christ at Calvary. What about you? What about you? Am I my brother's keeper? Such actions call for deep heart searching. If you are saved, there are a great many eyes fixed upon you. People are watching. They're watching you to see if your life shows forth the praises of Christ, who you profess to know. If your life is worldly, if your life is mean and ungodly and rebellious, then you are telling them that your Lord is not the blessed, glorious, holy Christ that your lips tell them He is. One thing to say it with the lips, but it's another thing to live in Christ, to live Christ, to live the gospel. You see, people learn of Christ by reading your life, because the Scripture tells us that we are an epistle, and for everyone to read. And no, you can't fool the world. You can't fool awakened sinners. I couldn't fool them on my job. On my job I used to have in the world. They knew there was something different about me. Took them a while to be convinced that the Christ that I knew was real to me is the Christ of God's Word, the Bible, and the Christ that came down into this world to save sinners, and that I was a sinner He saved. Everywhere I went, it was Christ, Christ. Get to talking with an individual, it won't be long, I'll be talking to him about Christ. It just flows out naturally. There's that well of living water that God puts in you, and it ever flows forever and eternally. And I'll give you water, and ye shall never thirst. He's talking about that living water, Christ, within our hope of glory. The Holy Spirit there, who witness to the testimony of Christ and makes Christ real to us. That shows forth the praises of Christ. Oh, my friends, tonight I just have to tell you these things and bring these things before our eyes, because they're there, and there's lots of cleaning up and letting go and forsaking and confessions, repentance that has to be done in every heart. The reminder, we do not live to ourselves. We do not die to ourselves. Because, my friends, when we come to die, others will have to carry our bodies out and bury us. A selfish individual is, I tell you, I don't see how a selfish individual can live. I don't see how they live. I don't see how they can live with themselves. A believer lives for others. Everything he does for the glory of God. That's his purpose. That's his aim. And those are the things that we learn as we go along life's way in grace more and more. Christ. Only Christ. And him alone. Whatever I do, I'm to be careful. Will what I do honor my Lord, or will it dishonor him? You see, it's all for the honor of him. And God the Father say, he that honors the Son honors the Father. And he will in return honor you and I. If we honor him and give his word the first place in our hearts, abide in him. Be obedient unto his word. May the Lord lead us and keep us and drive these truths home to our hearts, and we'll think along our way as we make our way back to our homes tonight. You turn to the Lord. Turn to him. And he'll lead you. He'll clear up many things in your life. You have to be willing. But he'll make you willing the day of his power. And he's ready to do for you which you cannot do for yourself. I know you can't break away from sin and you can't turn loose from it without his power. But cry unto him. Cry unto the Lord to break rebellion in the heart, hatred in the heart, malice in the heart. Ask him to break sin, the power of sin in your heart and life. And he'll do it. Cry unto him to turn you away from the world. The things of the world that are occupying your time instead of you being occupied with Christ and with him. Oh, may the Lord hear us. And I believe he has. And may you hear the word of the Lord. If you hear the word of the Lord, you shall live. Let's stand.